I want to bring us a message about what it means to really believe the Bible, what the Bible teaches. Do you really believe it? To believe means you count it so. You have no doubts or wonderments about it. You know it's true, and you believe it with all your heart. He speaks that in one place. If you believe with all your heart, you may. The man on the road that Philip went to go down to visit and deal with is from down south. And he was reading in Isaiah. And Philip got to talking to him. And finally, the man said, "Here's some water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the man said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You know, that meant a lot for him to say that. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And guess what happened? When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away and took him several miles away across the country. And the Ethiopian eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. I want to notice a text in Psalm 116. I love this 116th Psalm. I wonder, have you read it? It's a comforting, it's a wonderful psalm. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read one thing that he said in verse 10. "I believed, therefore have I spoken." I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now, I want to show you where this is quoted in the New Testament. That saying just there is quoted in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And 13. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken." See, he's quoting that. "We also believe, and therefore speak." All right, now, this is my text, these two scriptures. I want to start with the first of the Gospels. I'm not going to read, I'm just going to rehearse it openly from my mind and my memory. But I want to ask us, each one of these places, do you really believe it? And I hope you do, because I do, and I know it is so.
Yes, praise
the Lord. The first part I want to notice is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And how, in the second chapter, or the first chapter of Luke, it tells how the angel Gabriel visited her and told her that she was to be the mother of the Savior. "Hail, thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And you know, he told her that you will conceive in your womb. She was a young, unmarried woman. She hadn't been married. She was engaged to be married, but she wasn't married yet. And the angel told her that she was to conceive in her womb and bring forth a son. And you call his name Jesus. And she responded first, she said, "Well, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm not married. I'm not with a man." That's what it takes to have a child, usually. It takes a man and a woman being united. And the angel Gabriel says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What did Mary say? Said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She believed it. And the angel told her also something. She said, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived in her old age, and she is with child that was called barren. And Mary, right away, she headed out to visit her cousin. And didn't they have a wonderful time? Did you ever read that?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. It's wonderful. As Mary came to the door and Elizabeth came to greet her, she says, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And, the Spirit of the Lord just made her know that Mary was to be the mother of the Savior. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Oh, she was so glad. And she did bring forth a son. She went back. She spent about 3 months with Elizabeth. And then she went back to her home. And we don't have this recorded, but you know she had to tell Joseph, a man she was engaged to be married, she had to tell him what was going on, that she was with child. And I'm sure she tried to tell him, it was the angel of the Lord that told me. But somehow Joseph couldn't get it in his mind. And we find in the first chapter of Matthew how that Joseph decided when he heard that Mary was expecting a child, that he was going to put her away secretly, privately. He didn't want to make her a public example. He loved her. He just couldn't get a hold of this. He just couldn't believe that she was going to have a baby. But that night, I think it was probably that very night, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph obeyed and took Mary to be his wife. And then in the second chapter of Luke, we find that they had to go down to Bethlehem. Some kind of a big deal going on. They had to go and register down there. And while they were there, she had her little baby. And they were staying in a barn, stable. There wasn't no place in the inn for them to stay. And her little baby was born, the little baby Jesus. What was one of the things that happened that clearly revealed? In the same country there were shepherds, biding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And whenever the angels had gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let's go and see this that has come to pass that the Lord has made known. And they went in and they found him there in the manger, the little baby lying, and mother and Joseph. Oh, weren't they? Well, they went out and they just told it everywhere. Now I want to ask you this question. Do you really believe that story?
Amen.
Do you really believe that Mary brought forth a child without husband? They call that the virgin birth. Do you believe that?
Amen. Yes.
That's an impossibility of itself.
Yes.
But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And Jesus was born. He was not born of a man, but he was born of a woman by the Holy Spirit. And he grew up. We have him pictured in Luke there. We have them going down there, and he was 12 years old. He went into the temple, and he got to talking with the doctors, and he got so carried away with them. And his mother and Joseph thought he was somewhere in amongst the other bunch of the family, and they just took off and started to go back and went a whole day's journey, and then they couldn't find him, and turned back, and after two more days, they finally found him in the midst of the doctors. And he was talking to them and telling them things and listening to them what they said. And Mary said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Our father has said, we look for you sorrowing." What did he say? Did you know Joseph at the age of 12, he knew quite a bit about what was going on. "Why have you sought me? Don't you know that I need to be about my father's business?" He knew that God was his father.
Yes.
Do you really believe that we was a child like that? I believe he was. I believe he was God's son that God sent into the world. I believe it with all my heart. I have read it and pondered it and thought about it and studied it down through the years. And it just gets more real and more precious. Right in this meeting, it's just been refreshed and renewed in my heart and mind. Well, we go on now in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it tells a story how Jesus was made manifest. Came to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was called to prepare people for him, to meet him and to accept Jesus. And he came and told John that he said, wanted him to baptize him. And John said, I ought to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me? And Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And they went down into the water, and John baptized him. And as they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, heavens were opened. And the Spirit of the Lord came down like a dove and lit upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, now do you believe that? I believe just what he said. A voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Then we go on, and Jesus started his ministry. He preached to big crowds. But also, he did miracles. He did healings. He healed people. He healed big crowds of people. His ministry went, and he just took in. There were people that were sick and had devils in them, and Jesus healed them. Do you really believe that Jesus had the power to heal? Do you believe all those miracles? I like to think about some of them that are just seem like special some way. One I have marveled at quite a bit was a man that was in the wilderness, in the tombs, hanging around, running around in the tombs, wouldn't wear any clothes. He had devils in him. He was full of the devil, and he cried, and he cut himself with stones, and he was just in an awful shape. And Jesus came along, and he came running out and bowed down and said, "What have I to do with thee, thou Son of God?" And Jesus says, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Jesus rebuked those devils. They had possessed that man, I don't know how long, but it was this awful kind of condition he was. And Jesus rebuked those devils, and they came out of him, and there was a bunch of swine, pigs, hogs. I don't know how many was there, 200 or 300 of them, wasn't there? Big bunch of them. And those devils entered into those swine and run them down the slope into the river or to the water of the Sea of Galilee and drowned them. But the man was well. He was healed. And they came out, the people of the town came out and found him clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, "No, you go back and you tell what the Lord has done for you." And you know what he did? He went, and the scripture says, he went in Decapolis. You know what Decapolis is? A 10-city region. He spread the tale all around about what the Lord had done for him. Do you believe that? I believe it. And then I'd like to think about another wonderful miracle that the Lord did. There was a man that he had a little daughter that was real sick, and he wanted Jesus to heal her. And so he came to Jesus and told. And so Jesus says, well, I'll come. And here, so he started out, and the crowds were just thronging him all around, people wanting to get to Jesus and wanting to hear Jesus teach, and they were just moving along. There was one woman in the crowd that had an issue of blood. She had had this issue of blood. What was it for?
12 years.
How much?
12 years.
12 years, wasn't it? Bleeding from her body for 12 years. And she saw Jesus, and she decided she would go in, and she pressed her way through the crowd and reached out and touched him. She said in her heart, she said, "If I could just touch him, I'll be well." And she reached out and touched his hem of his garment, and she was just healed just like that. She knew in her body that she was healed. Wasn't that wonderful? And then she just kind of dropped back. "Oh, thank you, my grandson." And you know, the wonderful, wonderful thing about it was Jesus felt it go out of him. The healing virtue. He felt it go out. And he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Peter and the disciples said, "Why, Lord, the people are pressing you in on every side. And why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" He said, "Somebody touched me because I felt the healing virtue go out." Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes. Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that really happened? And that woman, when she saw that she was not hid, she come and showed herself and told the Lord all about it, how she had been having this awful trouble, and how she said, "I know I'm well." Isn't that wonderful? I have loved through the years to study about and picture these healings. I just love that. It's just wonderful. Marvelous. Oh, wonderful. Well, about that time, after all this had taken place, Someone came from the man's house and had the little girl that was sick. And he told him, he says, your little girl has passed on. She's died. So don't bother the master anymore. And the Lord says, only believe. And she'll be made well. And they went right on. They got down to the house, and here were the people that come in to mourn and carry on. And they were doing all that. And Jesus, he says, why do you do all this? Don't you know there's nothing too impossible with God? And so anyway, he got them out and got his three disciples and the mother and father. There was the little girl. I've thought a lot about this. I remember reading this. I had a book when I was a boy. I've got one now. But it was a book about stories of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen one of them or not. I can't remember what the name. But I had it when I was a little boy, and I would read that. And I'm telling you, it influenced my mind. And it told about that little girl and how she was sick and died. And Jesus came and raised her up. I believe it is so. I believe it was just like that. She was 12 years old. He said, give her something to eat. And there were other things. I thought about time when Jesus was with his disciples. And the people had come to hear him. And he would heal them. And they had a big, wonderful day together. And it was kind of drawing toward the afternoon and on toward the evening. And the disciples said, Jesus, send the crowds away. Let them go into the cities and nearby and get something to eat. And why, he says, feed them out here. Well, they said, how are we going to feed them? We don't have anything. Finally, one of the disciples says, oh, say, there's a little boy here that's got five loaves and two fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus says, have the people all sit down. Have them all sit down. Now, I will tell you, this is one that I really marvel at. I all marvel at all of them. He took those five loaves. I don't think they were great big loaves, but they were five small loaves and two little fishes, and he started breaking them. Well, first, he blessed them with prayer. He gave thanks to the Lord and then blessed them in his prayer. And then he started breaking it. Oh, I have tried to picture that in my mind. That's marvelous. He broke and he gave it to his disciples. And I guess they had some baskets. Can't you just see Jesus breaking and a breaking and a breaking? And they started feeding those people. How many were there? 5,000 men plus the women and children. Now, how many of you think that would ought to about add up to? If there was 5,000 men, there was probably, I would think, I could be wrong about that, but I think there'd be about 5,000 women and maybe about 2,000 or 3,000 children. What did he do? He broke those loaves and fishes and he gave them to his disciples and they passed them out. And they all ate and were filled. And then he told them, he says, go gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And how much did they gather up? 12 baskets of the loaves and the fishes. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus really did that? That was a miracle. It just multiplied those. I'm sure they all tasted good. The taste and everything was good about all the way. Isn't that wonderful? There are many other things that our Lord did. I think about Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And Jesus would go and be with them at times. Well, Jesus loved all them, loved Lazarus, and his sisters knew this, and they were very happy to have him, and they knew that Jesus loved them deeply. Lazarus got sick, and Jesus was off in another part of the country, and they sent word to him and said, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Will you come and heal him?" And Jesus, whenever he heard that, he went ahead and stayed another day or so where he was. He didn't hurry off. And finally, he told his disciples, said, "We would better go to Judea. Our son, our brother Lazarus is dead, and we're going to go raise him up." And his disciples said, "Well, if he'd be all right." So anyway, Jesus said, "He's dead. He's dead." Anyway, when they got there, Lazarus had been dead for what? 4 days. He had been in the grave for 4 days. Now, in 4 days, as Martha told Jesus, whenever Jesus says, "Let's go," and they went out to the graveyard, to the place, and Jesus says, "Roll away the stone." Oh, Martha says, "Lazarus, by this time he's a stinking. He's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said, "Didn't I say to you, if you believe, nothing will be possible, impossible?" And so they stood there, and Jesus offered prayer. "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always. Yet for the people I read here, I said this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And then, "Lazarus, come forth." Do you really believe he brought him out of the grave? He was dead for 4 days. Do you really believe it? I believe it. He come out of that grave, bound up with grave clothes. Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Isn't that wonderful? All the many miracles that Jesus did. We could go on about a lot of them. But as you read in the four Gospels, it began to develop. The Jews, the leaders of the Jews, hated Jesus. I think they were jealous of him. They hated him and wanted to cut him down, get him out. And finally they connived. They connived some way to get him arrested and brought up before Pilate, the Roman governor. They hated him. Why did the Jews hate Jesus? He never did hurt them. I mean, he offended them because he stood up against the things they were doing. But Jesus, they hated him. And they worked and managed to get Pilate pressured finally into decreeing that he would be crucified. And they took him out of the city, and they took him up to Mount Calvary, and there they took him and two other men that they were going to execute, and they nailed Jesus to the cross. It tells about it in the scriptures. Nailed him to the cross. They beat his body, and I have read that the Romans did not stop with 39 stripes when they beat a prisoner. That they'd go on and beat and beat and beat and beat. So Jesus was beaten on the back And he's brought out and he's nailed to the cross. He suffered there. Nails in his hands. You ever stop to think about that? You believe that report? He was nailed to the cross. One of the thieves said to him, "If you be the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other thief says, "Why are you talking that away? We indeed are justly being condemned, but this man has done no wrong." Yes. And he turned to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What did Jesus say? "Today, I say unto you that today you'll be with me in paradise." Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You believe that? You believe Jesus went to paradise after he died? Paradise is a place of the departed souls of people that die, that are saved. Jesus went there, and this thief went there too. Then they took him down from the cross, and they took him to the tomb. And they put him in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, also Nicodemus. They put spices there, put him in the tomb. Put a stone on the tomb. Then they went their way. Went to take care of observe the Sabbath day. And on the third day, Mary Magdalene, we find it in John, tells about her coming. And other gospels said there were some other women that came too. They came to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And an angel told them, "You seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Come and see where he lay." And the other women went on back, and Mary kind of lingered around, and Jesus was standing out there, and she thought it was the gardener. And she says, "Oh, sir, if you've taken him somewhere, tell me where so I can find him." And Jesus says, "Mary." "Master, don't touch me, for I am not yet risen to the Father, ascended to the Father. But go tell my brethren, behold, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary went and told him. And there were two men that were going on the road to Emmaus, a bit distance of about 8 miles up the road. And they were going along that afternoon, and they were talking about everything. They were talking about how they crucified Jesus and how that somebody had come back and said that he was not in the tomb, that he was risen. And they just couldn't seem to figure it out. They're just kind of talking about that. And all of a sudden, this stranger kind of stepped up and stepped in with them. He said, "What's she talking about? Why are you so troubled and disturbed? What are you talking about?" "Well, are you just a stranger here in Jerusalem and don't know what's been going on? What's she talking about? What things?" "Oh," they told him how Jesus was crucified and condemned. And how now then the report has come, the women has come and said that he's alive. They just couldn't seem to put it together. Jesus says, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And they went on, and he started in from the scriptures. Did you ever read some of those scriptures that Jesus used? Started from Moses and the prophets and brought in all the scriptures about himself. And they just thought he was some stranger. He didn't hardly know what to think, but they probably thought he was just some stranger walking along. And he just kept bringing in those scriptures, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the different prophets and things about him. And they was amazed at it, but they just listened to him. And finally, they got to Emmaus, and they said, "Will you come in and tarry with us?" He made as though he was going to go on. He just kind of maybe said, "Well, I guess I'll be going on. Well, will you come in and tarry with us?" Yes, he went in and tarried with them. And while he was there, he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and I have marveled at this scene. Their eyes were open, and they saw it was him. And what happened? He just disappeared out of her sight. It says, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way and opened up the scriptures? They took out and went right back to Jerusalem, way on through the night. Took a long time, because it takes a long time to go 8 miles on foot. But they got there and they got to the disciples and began to talk to them and tell them that they had seen Jesus and all. They were so happy. And while they were talking and telling it, Jesus stood right in their midst. Do you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead? I believe, therefore have I spoken. Do we believe that Jesus actually came alive forevermore out of the tomb? He was in his glorified eternal body. He would disappear and he would appear. Some of the disciples told Thomas, one of the other disciples, that they had seen the Lord, and he said, "Except I shall see in the hand his nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe." Made that statement. And then, just not long after that, Jesus, they were all together and Thomas was with them. Thomas wasn't with them the first time Jesus came to him. And Thomas, he looked at Thomas and first thing he did was, "Thomas, reach hither thy hand and see my nail prints and thrust your hand into my side and be not faithless but believing." Can't you see Thomas? "My Lord and my God." "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." And so it went on, the days went by. For 40 days he showed himself alive with many proofs that he was alive. Showed himself to his disciples. He talked to them about what he wanted them to do, to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. He was going to go back to the Father, and he was going to come again. He would come again someday. But he wanted them to go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come. And so as they were talking, he just started going up. You ever tried to figure this and picture this in your mind? I could just see the disciples as they were. I don't believe he just went up like that. I believe he went up slowly. And they watched him. He just kept going up higher and higher. Finally, a cloud took him out of their sight. And then two angels came down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going up into heaven will come in like manner as you see him go into heaven." And they all went back to the city of Jerusalem, went into the upper room. And there was Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers, and others, 120 of them. And they continued in prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, as we find in Acts, the second chapter. Do you really believe that Jesus went back to heaven? Do you really believe that he is there interceding for you and for me? You believe that, don't you, sister? Do you believe that you can pray as the scripture says in Hebrews 4? It says, let us come, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you believe that Jesus is at the right hand of God right now, listening to your prayers? You can go to him in prayer and he can bless you and help you. I believe it. I tell you, I take advantage. That's my refuge, is prayer. Pour out my heart to the Lord every day, several times a day. Even in the night, I like to get up and go to the throne of grace and pray to my blessed Jesus. He's interceding with the Father for me. I can pour out my heart. I can trust him for healing, for victory, for miracles, whatever it is. Did you know we had a miracle last year during this meeting? Do you remember that? How many of you remember that? You remember we had ice on everything? Just about every streets was just icy. You couldn't hardly. In fact, we were staying with Sister Nelda here, and that one day we didn't get out. It was too icy. It was awful icy. And it was cold down in the teens. And we went into the night for our rest, and it was cold. What happened? The next morning, the ice was gone. And it had melted. The Lord had took it away. I tell you, that was a miracle. If I ever saw one, I've seen miracles, but that was one of them. We got up the next day, there wasn't any ice on the streets or anything. Do you still believe that God can heal and do miracles? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to wait on him? Are you willing to pray to him? Are you willing to live for him? Do you consecrate your life to him? That's all we have to look to. This old world is getting in an awful shape. My only hope is that the Lord will come soon and take us out of this old wicked world. But that's what it is. He's coming. Do you believe that he is coming again? I believe it. Just recently, I had the Lord visit my soul in a spiritual way. He inspired me. My coming is very soon. Has any of the rest of you had anything like that? He's coming. They can talk about our rulers and all these awful things going on all they want to. It don't bother me. I don't let it bother me. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in my citizenship of the United States. That doesn't mean much to me. It does somewhat, but I know that we don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing, Jesus is coming again. I know he's coming soon. I'd be glad for him to come if I don't see my house again up there at Enid. And if I don't see all those things again, that won't bother me. Bank accounts and money. Thank God we won't have to have any of this old money. In that glory world, he's coming again. He's going to change, raise the dead and change the saved, those who are saved to immortality. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe it. I live for it. That's all I really live for. Oh, I have wonderful blessings in this life. I have a beautiful, sweet, loving, faithful wife for 53 years, and we're happy, and I love her, and we have a wonderful time together, and I love to be in meeting, and I love to be with my loved ones and the brethren and all that, but I know that's going to come to an end. My hope, I believe that Jesus is coming again. I believe it. And when he comes, he will change our old mortal bodies. These pitiful bodies, I tell you, they're just pitiful. I'm getting old and my body is getting infirmities and limping around and that. But I know one day the Lord's going to give me a new body. Praise the Lord. I believe it. I believe, therefore, have I given this message. Therefore, have I spoken. I believe. Do you believe?
Amen.
Amen.